One more. All right. Good morning. And I want to see you. Anybody else want to see Jesus? Amen. Yeah, and we do in different ways, but someday face to face, and that's going to be incredible. So yeah, today, Lord, we ask that you will open up the eyes of our heart, not only today, Lord, but every day. As we seek you, may we find you. So a big welcome, whether you're here physically or virtually. May you just feel God's presence, and may he speak to you this morning. Let's start with the readings.
The first reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verses 18 through 20. Hear you deaf, look you blind and see. Who is blind but my servant and deaf like the messenger I send? Who is blind like the one in covenant with me, blind like the servant of the Lord? You have seen many things, but you pay no attention. Your ears are open, but you do not listen. The second reading is from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in your hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Here ends the lesson.
Amen. It's a tradition to honor Jesus by standing for the gospel, but this one is like 41 verses long, so if you want to remain seated, you know, God's not going to hold it against you, all right? Or if you want to sit down halfway through, hey, nobody's going to judge you here, right? We don't judge each other. So yeah, please rise if you are willing and able for the reading of the gospel. As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground and made some mud with the saliva and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes open?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was the Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who had already decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard the opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not up from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You are steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" this man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you for the way that your words speak to us. Indeed, it is the living word, alive and active. And may we have ears to hear and eyes to see. Amen. Sometimes it's right in front of us and we don't even see it. A while back, I was doing my sermon prep, and quite often I'll use some little post-it notes. I do a lot of writing, you know, on the margins and things like that, and little post-it notes on things that I don't want to forget, things that God just points out to me and says, "This needs to be a part of the sermon." Okay. So I'm looking for my post-it notes. Can't find them. Looking in my usual place, I got this little corner of the living room that's sort of my happy place for a sermon prep. And on the bookshelf there is where I keep my pen and my notes and things like that. Couldn't see them, couldn't find them. So I asked Jill, "You seen my post-it notes? You know, I'm looking for this little pack of post-it notes." "Well, they're on the shelf, on the bookshelf there where we usually sit." I went back there. I looked at every shelf 3 times. Okay, couldn't see them. They weren't there. "Okay, you know where else they might be?" "Just wait." She goes over there. I don't know how she did it, okay? But she picks up the pack of post-it notes that was right there in front of me the whole time. Just couldn't see it. It was right there in front of me, but I couldn't see it. And I think it's the same way with these Pharisees. They've been waiting for the Messiah. They're looking for the Messiah. And he's right there in front of them. And they couldn't see it. I guess that's us sometimes too. You know, something that's obviously in front of us we can't always see. But they were concerned with other matters, following all the rules, following all the laws, honoring God and doing so, which is good. We need to follow God's laws, absolutely, and his rules. We can't make up our own. We as humans want to many times. We want to make up our own rules. But you know, his rules, of course, surpass anything that we come up with. His ways are right. Even when we think we're right, he is right. So these Pharisees were in that way of thinking, and they had other cultural things that, you know, this guy that was born blind, that was because of sin somehow. We don't know why he was born blind, but he was. He'd gone his whole life without being able to see. And that would really be missing out, wouldn't it? If I'm going to lose any of my 5 senses, I don't want it to be my sight. I value my sight. I could get by, you know, without hearing, without smell. I suppose without taste, things like that. But I really value my sight. And this man got to experience his sight for the first time. He had never seen light before. His eyes are open, you know, what's this bright stuff? And people, wow, I know what they felt like, you know, but I've never seen one. And trees and things like that, he must have just been totally amazed. Because Jesus had healed him and set him free. Free from the darkness. Not only physically, but as we'll see, spiritually as well. And he had done it, we don't know why, but he made a mixture, a mud paste, and put it on the guy's eyes. He didn't have to. He could have just said, be healed, and it would happen. But for some reason, I don't fully understand he did this. But the guy followed Jesus' instructions. Maybe it didn't make sense to go to this pool and wash, but he trusted in Jesus. He followed through, and maybe that's the message in that part, to trust Jesus and follow through when he tells us to do something. Now, the problem in the Pharisees' eyes was that this was on the Sabbath. It was on the day where you're not supposed to work. God says to rest on the Sabbath, and indeed we should. To take time off, a day off, like he did at creation, right? 6 days he created the heavens and the earth, and the seventh day he rested, setting the example for us. But these Pharisees had made it into rules and regulations. On the Sabbath, you can only take so many steps. You can only do this, you can only do that, And observant Jews, even today, observe the Sabbath in that strict way. You can't light a fire, you know, and so they think, well, fire was made for cooking, therefore we can't, and also for light, we can't turn on light switches, and we also can't cook on the Sabbath. You're going to have cold leftovers, huh? But, of course, they find workarounds. They're humans. So a lot of times these observant Jews will make a hot dish the night before, put it in the oven, and then set the timer. So that the next day it'll automatically turn on and they can have a hot lunch. I mean, that's pretty resourceful. I like that. So they're always trying to find workarounds, and I think we are too. You know, God states very clearly what we can and can't do, but do we try to find workarounds? Yeah, if we admit it, we do as well. So instead of rejoicing in the healing that this guy had his sight restored for the first time ever, I mean, it was given to him. And you would think everybody would be just going, wow, that's incredible, and rejoicing along with him. Not the Pharisees. They're going to find fault with this because it was done on the Sabbath and also because it was done by this Jesus guy. And they, of course, were out to get him and looking for any little thing that they could hang him on. And here he had apparently violated the Sabbath laws. Well, this... We know his disciples, you know, plucked heads of grain on the Sabbath to eat as they walked through the field. He had healed a man's shriveled hand on the Sabbath. And he had asked the Pharisees that, you know, if your cattle fall into a well or something, won't you pull them out on the Sabbath? Won't you do those things? And, of course, they would. So he sort of points it back to them. So they interview this guy and ask him, who healed you? Is it this Jesus? And how did he do it? So he provides them the details. They then call in the parents and ask him, is this your son? Yes. Was he born blind? Yes. How did it happen? He said, don't ask him. He'll speak for himself. The motive for the parents was given right here. They said, ask him. Ask our son. He is of age. He'll speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who had already decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. All right. So anybody that acknowledged Jesus, they are going to be ostracized. They're going to be put out of the synagogue. Basically, the equivalent of excommunication type thing, which is a very serious threat. The Roman Catholic Church, all throughout history, and others as well, they have that excommunication thing where you are no longer a part of us and your salvation is not there. So that's what they had threatened. Anybody who mentioned Jesus, believed in Jesus, or followed Jesus, you will no longer be one of us. You will no longer have the reassurance of the Jewish religion and culture, the things you grew up with. You'll be a heretic. People have been put in that situation many times throughout history. There are those that have been burned at the stake for translating the Bible into their own language. Very serious. The punishment, the crime, trying to bring the Word of God to others. Of course, they're trying to protect it. They don't want it mistranslated to be, you know, their thought on that, but still, wow. But it comes down to Acts 5:29, at least for me, we must obey God rather than man. So if we're ever put in that situation where we have to follow the ways of man or the ways of God, it should really be a no-brainer. Is it going to take courage to stand up and do the right thing? Absolutely. Might you risk attacks or persecution? Absolutely. But we must follow God rather than man. These parents gave in to the cultural pressure, the religious pressure, and found a way out. They didn't really deny things, but they said, ask our son instead. So the second time they summon the man who had been blind, and this time they're putting even more pressure on him. They said, give glory to God by telling the truth. We don't believe you. And now they're reminding him that, hey, God is listening. We know this man is a sinner. They're saying that about Jesus. We know this man is a sinner. Okay, the only one who lived a sin-free life. Okay, that made us worthy. Right in front of them. But they couldn't see it. Yeah. Okay. Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, right? I was blind, but now I see. John Newton wrote that song, and he had a very adventurous life, orphaned as a child, serving as basically a house slave when he went to Africa. He's white, but this was like reversed. Got on ships where he was abused and learned the ways of the sea. As I was reading through it last night, he had a mouth on him that would make the other sailors blush. Okay? They said he was like extreme. And he's living that life. And he goes through times where he's on the death's doorstep from disease and everything else. And then he eventually comes to faith, becomes a pastor, and wrote that hymn, Amazing Grace. You know, wow, you read it sometime, the history of it. It's fascinating and it's interesting. And my life looks boring compared to what he lived, I'll guarantee you. But John Newton giving glory to God where it is due. Realizing the depravity that he was, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Is that Jesus who seeks that one, right? Leaving the 99 behind. He found him. He sought him out. And we started to follow him. Things changed in a wonderful way. Okay, they continue to ask him. I have told you, or they asked him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? I told you already, and you would not listen. Yeah, okay, they wouldn't listen. Not only is Jesus right in front of them, they're not seeing, they're not listening either. Why do you want me to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Now this hit hard. They then hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are the disciples of Moses. Okay, we're going to follow the old Jewish traditions and customs. And we're going to keep on waiting for this Messiah, who again was right there in front of them. All right, so eventually they dismissed the guy, telling him, you're steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? We are high and mighty, you're not. And they threw him out. Well, after being thrown out, Jesus finds him once again. Wow, doesn't that speak to us too, right? You know, Jesus has found us at least once, but has he found us more than once? I would say yes. You know, we stray once again. He leaves those 99 and seeks us and brings us back. And that's what Jesus does here too. Jesus heard they had thrown him out, and when he found him, I love those words, when Jesus found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. The Son of Man is a title that Jesus would use for himself. Throughout the Gospels, you'll see it. If he called himself Son of God, obviously he'd be instantly, that would be it, right? But By saying Son of Man, he's referring back to the book of Daniel is what he's doing. In this vision, Daniel records, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. By calling himself Son of Man, Jesus is laying claim to all this. He's saying, I am the Messiah. I am God. And if you know, you know. A lot of people didn't know this, didn't connect it. But those that did, again, if you know, you know. This man didn't know. Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him with your new eyes, right? With new eyes, you have seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Again, right in front of us. The man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Lord, I believe. In saying that, he received another kind of sight. Not just physical sight, but spiritual as well. Belief is the key. That's what opens the door, believing, right? He who believes in him shall not perish. If you confess to the multitude, believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, right? To those who receive and believe, if you've been given the right to become children of God, belief is the key. Those who do not believe are already condemned. All these verses are talking about the importance of belief. So he does believe. And is he rewarded now with spiritual sight as well? Well, the Pharisees, there are still some with him, apparently. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what, are we blind too? Yep. Right in front of you. Jesus said, if you were blind, physically blind, you would not be guilty of sin. Or if you could not see. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. Again, spiritually blind. He's right there. The Messiah, the Lamb of God. They're in his presence. And they can't see it. Of course, they're out to get Jesus. They were expecting the Messiah, the one that would deliver them from the Romans, this mighty king and warrior. Jesus didn't fit the narrative. And as a result, he was pushed aside, dismissed, indeed, actively persecuted. He wasn't what they expected. But God's ways, of course, are not our ways. And thank God for that. If God operated in human ways, that wouldn't be good. His ways are much higher. But this is nothing new. I mean, was Israel spiritually blind throughout the Old Testament? Yeah, are we still spiritually blind today? We get glimpses occasionally. We see clearly. And may that increase, Lord, may that increase that we can see more clearly. But we had read about Isaiah's words today too, in Isaiah 42, where he's talking to Israel collectively, the promise, the people of God that God had given the covenant promise to. Hear, you deaf, look, you blind, and see. Who is blind but my servant, Israel, and deaf like the messenger I send? Who is blind like the one in covenant with me? In covenant with God, wow. And we are too. We are grafted in. Blind like the servant of the Lord. We see in part now. Lord, we want to see more. You have seen many things, but you pay no attention. Your ears are open, but you do not listen. In so many ways, he is right in front of us too. So throughout their history, the nation of Israel is blind and deaf. You know, God's right there with them and leading them through the desert. You know, you got the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire. How can you not believe? How can you not see? They've got the water from the rock, the manna from heaven, all these miracles, God guiding, God providing. Yet they stray. And I would say so do we. Are we any different? No. God is right here with us, right here in front of us. wants us for his own, but yet we stray too. And that's where Jesus comes in, right? We stray, we sin, we are therefore unworthy to stand in front of God in his presence. Nothing impure can exist in his presence. And that's where Jesus makes us worthy, because we can on our own. I'm sort of surprised that Jesus didn't quote these verses to the Pharisees. We know it would not have been well received. It would have been very, very convicting to them. And of course, we want to hear things that support us, things that build us up. We don't want to be confronted with the truth sometimes. Or I guess most of the time, if I want to be honest. Some are blind and can't see, and some refuse to see. And that leads me to our third reading from 2 Corinthians. Paul's writing to the people of Corinth, his second letter. There were at least three. We only have two of them. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, and we all do, we do not lose heart. We keep on with our belief. We keep on bringing the word to others. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. In carrying this message, we do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. Let us preach it truly and faithfully. Let us not twist it. Let us not take it out of context, but to preach it in the right way. We set forth the truth plainly, commending ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The God of this age, yeah, our enemy, he blinds people to the message of the gospel, right? A lot of people just think this is something that was written by humans, and it was written by humans, but inspired by the Holy Spirit, of course. The prophecies are true, and there's many, many, many of them that have been already fulfilled, and many are yet to be fulfilled. There's no doubt that this is truth in my eyes. But some think it's just, it's foolishness. As it says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us, who are believers, it is the power of God. And there's a lot of people in this world today who don't believe this, or else they dismiss it. Even though it's right in front of them. They don't see it. They don't have the eyes to see, or they don't want to see. And that's probably worse. Not wanting to see it. Not wanting to see the truth. Refusing to see the truth. Lord, give us all eyes to see. And help us to bring this truth to others so that they can see as well, that they can have hope. Hope for this life and eternity. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as the servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. This light is going to allow us to see. We can't see without light, right? You have to have photons bouncing or hitting your retina to create the images. We can't see without light. And if we don't have the light of the world in us, we're not going to see clearly. And yeah, we're going to deny things and question things. But if you've seen the light, everything changes. Lord, give us eyes to see what's right in front of us. Amen.